have started to walk in the light, shining upon me from heaven so bright. I bade the world and its follies adieu. I've started in Jesus and I'm going through. Oh, I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. And I'll pay the price, whatever others do. And I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Oh, there are many who start in the race, but with the light refuse to keep pace. And others accept it because it is new, but not very many expect to go through. But I'm going through, yes, I'm going through. And I'll pay the price, whatever others do. And I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. I'd rather walk with Jesus alone and have for a pillow like Jacob a stone, and living each moment with his face in view, then shrink from my pathway and fail to go through. Oh, I'm going through, yes, I'm going through. And I'll pay the price, whatever others do. And I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Oh, brother, now will you take up the cross and give up the world and count it as dross? Sell all thou hast and give to the poor. Then go through with Jesus and those who endure. Yes, I'm going through.
Yes, I'm going through.
And I'll pay the price, whatever others do. And I'll take the way of the Lord's despised few. I've started with Jesus and I'm going through. I'd rather walk with Jesus alone and have for a pillow like Jacob a stone, and living each moment with his face in view, then shrink from my pathway and fail to go through. Oh, I'm going through, yes, I'm going through. And I'll pay the price, whatever others do. And I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few. I've started with Jesus and I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. Oh, I'm going through. And I'll pay the price, whatever.
I wonder how many of you have made up your mind that you are going to go through. I'm telling you, saints, if ever there's been a day that you need to make up your mind and serve the Lord with all your heart, this day literally demands that. It really does. And I pray, let me cut that down a little bit. If I don't be careful, I get too loud. I kind of like it. I like being loud. Listen, I broadcast today. Overwhelming broadcast. We're going to deal today with the church and America needs prayer. Now, I know you kind of like me. You've heard all that's going on out there in our world, the political, you know, the church world, and all of it together kind of falls on your head. And after a while, you get wore out with it. You really do. You just kind of figure out, Lord, what do I do? How do I take much more of it? How do I stand it any longer? You know, and it really is a crazy day. But that's all right. God's got his hand on it, and God's got everything in control, and you just rest in him. Now, let me tell you, what is really needed is America needs prayer warriors. America and the church needs prayer warriors. We need men of God and women of God who know how to pray. So today, I am going to deal with prayer. I'm going to deal with all my heart trying to help you grasp with me the power of prayer. And somehow get prayer in focus as never before. I really believe the great need is to get prayer in focus. I mean, to make up our mind we're going to be prayer warriors. To make up our mind that we're going to seek the face of God. Woo, that was too much. We're going to seek the face of God, and we're going to be prayer warriors. And I want you to join me. Now, I'm going to do some search of Scripture, and we're going to look at the Bible, and we're going to see what the Bible says about prayer. I really want it to get a hold of us. I really want it to get a hold of us. Now, let me explain to you that the political world is in a war. The political world is in a war. You know as well as I know that the liberals in America, those who don't want prayer in the school, those who want to keep killing unborn babies, those who want all the liberal agenda, and it's a long list of things that the liberals want. They want to make this a new world order, and they want America to be part of it. And, you know, we just can't be part of it because we've got Israel to take care of it. We've got the church world to represent, and may God help us. Now, our greatest need in handling all of this and dealing with all of this, the president needs our prayers. The Congress needs our prayers. Our local government officials need our prayers. The church world needs our prayers. Your community needs your prayers. Your family needs you on your face with God praying like you've never prayed in all of your life. Now, that really is a great need. And I'm calling on you for America's sake, for the president's sake, for the bringing of America back into some degree of harmony and to stop another war between forces in America. I mean, we don't need another civil war. We don't need another civil war. But you can see the preparation and the hit when the conservatives win on November the 6th. I'm almost afraid for what's going to happen with this liberal crowd who are already ready to destroy us. They're ready to do anything to eliminate the message that I'm preaching on this internet and this Facebook and, yes, on radio. And I'm committed, and I will die before I give up my right to do the things that we believe America and Bible-believing people have a right to do. Now, what we got to do is learn the power of prayer. Are you ready? Are you ready? Listen to me out there. All over radio land, please, all over Charlotte and the surrounding communities, Gastonia, Concord, up in Shelby, down in Rock Hill, all around me, listen to me. Call some people and get them to listen. If you're on Facebook, share it with all your friends on Facebook. I mean, you have the right at your fingertips. You can get everybody in your friendship knowing we're on the air. They may not listen, but you can let them know. And so I'm begging you to help me. I'm begging you to share this. I'm begging you, let's get busy for the King. Are you ready to help me? Are you willing to give your best? Are you willing to give all you've got praying and seeking the face of God? We had a great retreat this week. And I'm going to tell you why the retreat was great, the power of prayer. We really know the power of prayer. We really do. And always there's forces to defeat us. Every time we get together, there's forces to defeat. Every time you get on your knees, the devil is going to do his best to trouble you and get you off your knees. You are more dangerous on your knees to the devil than anything else you can do. You're dangerous to the liberal world when you're on your knees. And so I'm calling you to prayer. I am calling you to prayer, and I'm not going to leave you hanging out there and not knowing the power of prayer. Now, let me read you something in the book of Ephesians, and this is really powerful. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, our battle is not with flesh and blood. We're not in a battle with Schumer and Pelosi and all those liberal people who are part of our Congress and all the liberals in CNN and all the different media outlets that are just diehard against conservative values, diehard against our president, diehard against any good thing that we might make manifest in this crazy world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not really in a battle with all those people. So don't go out thinking that if you can defeat them in a fist battle, that you're going to defeat the cause of the wicked. No, you only enhance the devil's business. That man this week with all of his fake bums was nothing but a hindrance to the right cause, a hindrance to the good things. You don't win this battle by wrestling with flesh and blood, but we are in a war against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore? Listen now, because this is true, God says, by the Holy Spirit. God says, not Joe Chambers, please notice that. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it goes on to say, praying always. Now notice this in verse 18. This is the verse I want you to hear. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Notice, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Until you pray in the spirit of prayer. Until the Holy Ghost of God. That's the spirit of prayer. It's not just you, and you are important. Your feelings, your emotions, that's all part of praying. But he's talking here about praying in the supplication and power prayer of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. Let the anointing of God. See, preaching, if you hear preaching and there's no anointing of the Holy Ghost on the preacher, you don't enjoy it. It may be intellectual, it may sound okay, but until the anointing comes, I've heard preachers when it looked like fire was coming off the end of their fingers. I don't mean real fire, but Holy Ghost anointed, until it just gripped your soul. It stirred the sinner, and he was ready to run to the altar to get right with God. We need preaching today that's anointed by the Holy Spirit. Never have we need anointed preaching like we need it today. But we don't just need anointed preaching. We need anointed praying. If the saints in the church are anointed in prayer, it will help the preacher be anointed in preaching. Are you listening to me? I hope you're hearing me. Because I am crying out to you with all that is in me, with every bit of my capacity. I'm crying out to you to become a prayer warrior, to become a blessed, anointed, unctionized prayer warrior. And when you become a Holy Ghost anointed prayer warrior, you'll make a difference in your church. You'll make a difference in your life. You'll affect everything around you. And I'm praying for you. I'm praying for God to give me 1,000 people today who will commit themselves. Now, I'm not going to know it. Only God will know it. But I'm praying for God to give me 1,000 people who hear me and who commit themselves to become an old-fashioned prayer warrior. I was saved in 1952. And a group of laymen of the East Burlington Church of God in Burlington, North Carolina, where I was converted to Christ, they took me to the woods on Sunday afternoon, every Sunday, as I remember. And we prayed out there in the woods. And those men would pray, brother. They would pray. You'd hear them probably half a mile away, maybe a mile, crying out to God and pray. And that's how it used to be. It used to be that people who were prayer warriors, their neighbors knew they were prayer warriors. It used to be you go to church to pray, and you could hear the whole house would be full of people crying out to God. Their voices would ring together until the sanctuary sounded like Holy Ghost life as the saints of God was praying. Most people today pray like they're half dead, like they're half asleep. There's no enthusiasm. The Bible said the effectual fervent. Notice that word fervent. This is in the book of James. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous person, man or woman, availeth much. Availeth much. It makes a difference. When godly men and women are praying, it turns things around. Now, I'm telling you, Trump won the presidency because of prayer. He didn't win it because he was a smart politician. He wasn't a smart politician. He made mistakes all during the campaign. Oh yeah, he made mistakes. He said things he probably shouldn't have said. He was just doing the best he knew. He was fighting with all he had to win because he knew America was on the blinks. America was about to go down the tube. If we'd have got Hillary Clinton, where would we be right now? We'd be in a bigger mess than we were under Obama. And so I'm crying out to you, not only did Trump win because of the saints, he's going to stay winning because of the saints. And that's why at this midterm election, we need to pray. We need to be on our faces just like we was during the campaign, and we need to be crying out to God, and I'm coming to you to beg of you to become a prayer warrior, to get yourself on your face, and let's seek the face of God. Now, read that again, praying always. Always, notice that, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, I'm telling you, the church needs prayer. The nation needs prayer. And you are the people of America who are listening to me. You are the hope. And you are the object of our great interest and our great burden. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of things today. I have a booklet here, The Formula for a Great Prayer Life. The formula for a great prayer life. And it's 10 things. It's one little page. You can put it in your Bible, and it tells you 10 things that make up the formula for a great prayer life. Are you interested? If you're interested, we have someone here answering the phone. You grab your phone right now and dial. Will you do it? Dial your phone, call quickly. I'll leave that up a moment. I'll leave it up a moment. I'm going to give to you the subject of today. You can read that too. The church in America needs praying saints. The church in America needs praying saints. Are you listening to me? The church in America needs praying saints. We've never needed praying saints like we need it today. Are you listening? The church in America needs praying saints. The church in America needs praying saints. I'm going to blink that at you a couple of times because I want you to get it. Are you listening? I want you to get it. The church in America needs praying saints. And that's what I'm all about today. Now, you got the numbers in front of you. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. Call me. Call the secretary. You'll get a secretary first. Give her your name and address. We'll send you the formula for a great prayer life. And we'll send you another nice booklet on praying for America, the power of prayer, the power of prayer. And you'll have enough material if you'll read it. Read it beside your Bible. Don't take anything I say if it's not in the Bible. I'm a Bible man. I believe in the power of the Bible. And I want you to be a prayer warrior. Now, how do you become a great prayer warrior? Number one, a profound delight in the presence of God your Father. Until you enjoy talking to God. Until you enjoy being in the presence of the Father. Until you come to Him in the name of Jesus. I'll say that later again. But right now, I say it early. The Father comes to you because you come to Him in the name of Jesus. If you pray like you ought to pray, He'll become real to you in your prayer. And the Bible says the believer knows the voice of God. If you don't know his voice, then you're not really a devoted believer. I promise you. So number one, you've got to have a passion to be in the presence of God. Prayer is not just talking to God about the things you need. It's talking to God about how much you love him. It's making yourself available to him. God hears those who love him. The Bible said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thine heart. That's Psalms 37:5. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thine heart. He says in the book of 2 Corinthians that we don't pray in the flesh, but in the power of the Spirit. Our praying is not in our flesh and in our blood, but in the power of the Spirit. And you can only know that when you love the presence of God. And then you've got to come to him because you have no sense of your own. You have realized that I can't solve this problem. I can't help my president. I can't help my congressman. I can't help my pastor. I can't help my congregation tomorrow. I have to come to God knowing that Joe Chambers is helpless in himself. I am utterly dependent on God. That's number two. I'm giving you the formula for great praying. Number three is you've got to know you approach in the name of Jesus. You never come to God in your name. You don't even come to God in his name. You don't come to God in the name of the Holy Spirit. You come to God in the name of the Lord Jesus and his shed blood. The blood, the shed blood is absolutely the password. The shed blood is the password. You know how you need a password when you go on your computer. You need a password to go on your bank account. You need a password to pay your light bill. You need a password for all the things you do on computer and in whatever in your life. You need a password to get to God. And that password is in the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. By that red royal blood that Jesus spilt on Calvary's cross. And you go to him by the password of the blood. And then you got to understand your helplessness. You got to understand your helplessness. Oh, number one, number two, while ago was you got to know self. Self has no right to God. Self has no approach to God. Self has no power to get to God. So you don't trust self. You trust the blood, and then you realize how helpless you are. We know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We'll read that in a little bit. That's in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 37. You need to get that in your heart. You need to memorize that. It needs to be part of your life. It really does. And number five, you've got to understand that you must be under authority to your pastor and to your church. If you are not a person under authority, if you're independent and bullheaded, if you're independent and bullheaded and self-conceited, you can't pray. A man who is all caught up in himself can never be a prayer warrior. You got to put self on the altar. You got to get self out of your mind. You got to get self off your thoughts. You got to quit depending and thinking you're something. I'm here to tell you, you'd go to hell if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. You have no power in your own flesh. And there's no spiritual life apart from total dependency on God. Total dependency on God. Absolute free from the respect of persons. If you like some people, but you don't like others. If you like the whites, you can't stand the blacks. If you like the American, you can't stand the Spanish. Whatever prejudice is in you will stop your prayers from getting to God. You've got to get rid of prejudice. You've got to become completely open for God and any human being that needs his touch. You ought to have them on your heart. Get rid of your respect of persons. You like the wealthy. You like those who've got money. You like those who are well-educated and smart. Oh, God can't use you. You've got to become completely free of respect of persons. You've got to understand. You've got to be under abandonment to the body of Christ. The church is not a few lone rangers, but the church is the great body. There's feet and there's hands and there's ears and there's eyes and there's lips and there's feet. Oh, listen to me. God wants you to be part of his body. If you're not part of a good local church, you're not worth a hoot in prayer. Did you hear what I said? If you're not part of a good local church, you aren't worth a hoot in prayer. If you're not under the authority of your shepherd, you say, I don't trust him. Well, get a church where you do trust him. It's your fault if you're in a church you don't trust the pastor. You have no business in a situation like that. Go to the altar and pray. Ask God to direct you where you need to be, where you need to go. And number eight, you have got to show great respect to the feeble in the body. The Bible tells us that we must respect those who are lesser than we are, those who have lesser abilities than we have. You've got to get rid of that self-respect. Then you've got to have a burden for the unsaved. Oh, what's happened to the church that nobody wants to be a soul winner? If your church is not a soul winning church, your church is a dying church. If your church is not a soul winning church, your church is a dying church. If your pastor goes off to other churches and try to coach their members into his congregation, and that's how he's building his church, he's a hindrance to the body of Christ. He has no place in the body of Christ. If there's anything God don't care about, is a politician preacher who's politicizing. I'll get it out right here in a minute. Finding people in other churches and trying to bring them to his. There are churches in this country that are completely built on other churches. They don't get nobody saved. They just go and find somebody. Somebody else got saved. And sometimes they don't care whether they're saved or not, as long as they pay good money. So you've got to have a burden for the lost in the church, and you've got to have a heart for the kingdom of God. Now, those things are kind of spelled out in this little booklet, and I want you to have it. So call right now, 704-391-0588, and I want you to have that and this booklet on the power of prayer, the power of prayer. I want you to learn the power of prayer. I want you to know it's dynamic. Woo! It's dynamic. Now, I'm going to take you to that verse I just quoted in Romans chapter 8. And I want to read that to you because it is a powerful picture about how God wants to help us in praying. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, you have very little possibility of being a person of great prayer. You cannot be a person of great prayer if you don't know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to be filled with the sweet Holy Ghost, and you will speak in tongues when you are filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then you will have power in prayer that scares the devil to death. You'll have power in prayer that will scare the devil to death. If you don't believe it, you become great in prayer, and I promise you, you'll start having people who will even stand against you. You're trying to make me pray like you pray. No, I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to teach you how to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost and get you out of your flesh and into praying in the power of the sweet Holy Spirit. Oh, there's power. There's power. Now, listen to me. I want you to hear this. Are you listening? Get your Bible. Romans chapter 8. Go get your Bible. Let me wait on you. Get your Bible. I want you to hear this. I really do. It's powerful. It really is powerful. I want you to know something. The church in America needs praying saints. I said the church in America needs praying saints. Are you listening to me? The church in America needs praying saints. And I'm trying to feel that, put it on the screen so I can get it in your brain. I want to get it in your mind. And I want to make a prayer warrior out of you. I want to shake you until you really want to learn the power of prayer. Now listen to Paul. Paul the great apostle. He's talking to the church at Rome. And here, listen, the saints really at Rome, the church. And here's what he says. Likewise, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. You remember the person of the Holy Ghost, the third member of the divine Godhead. He is a person. He is as much a person as the Father is a person. And the Son is a person. One God manifest in three persons. Manifest in three, not three manifestations, but three persons. Each one of them think individually. Each one of them think individually, but they think together because they have one mind. They speak one language between themselves. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost have their own language. And Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:2 that when you pray in unknown tongues, nobody knows what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying because you're talking God's language. You're talking God's language. Woo! When I get in prayer, the Holy Ghost comes upon me, and I begin to talk in God's language. The devil can't interrupt me. The devil can't stop me. The devil don't know what I'm saying. The devil can't take a stand against what I'm praying for, because he don't know what I'm praying for. I'm praying in God's language. So hear this. Listen. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But notice, but the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit itself, himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I mentioned on Facebook that the Lord came in my bedroom a few days ago and appeared. I mean, I didn't see anyone. I just know they were present. I thought they was going to take me with them back to heaven. And God left me because there's too much work to get done. And this man sends a message and calls me a heretic on the Facebook because I said the Holy Spirit came in my room. And the Lord spoke to me and appeared to me. Well, that man don't know what he don't know much about his Bible. He sure don't. Apostle Paul was even taken up to heaven and visited paradise in the body or in the spirit. He said he didn't know which it was himself. It was just wonderful. Hallelujah. Read in your Bible all the times the Holy Spirit has appeared and all the ways that God, look at how God came to Paul outside of Damascus and wonderfully, he even heard the Lord speaking, heard the Lord talking and call him a heretic. Oh, bless his pure, pitiful heart. Not pure, but pitiful. Likewise, also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. For us. The Holy Spirit in heaven, God's Holy Spirit that now dwells also in us. He's both in heaven and he's here because he's omnipresent. He's omnipresent. Notice that. He can be with me here and somebody in Africa and somebody in South America and somebody in Canada and somebody in Russia and somebody in England and somebody in Mexico. He can be with 10 million at the same time because he's omnipresent and he's omniscient and he's omnipotent. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. So the Spirit itself maketh groanings for us, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me tell you what. You get to praying in the Holy Ghost, you're going to turn your church upside down. You get to praying in the Holy Ghost, you're going to turn your family upside down. You get to praying in the Holy Ghost, you're going to help the president. You're going to help the Congress. You're going to help your congressman, a congresswoman, your senator. You're going to help them. Because if you build up power in prayer for them, it was, I think, one of the queens of England, she said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I fear the army of all my enemies. I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I fear the armies of all my enemies. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. You start praying like you ought to. I've dedicated myself to spend the rest of my days. I'm in my last chapter. 82 years old. I'm in my last chapter. I don't know how long a chapter is going to be. It probably may be long enough to scare my enemies to death. And I got a lot of folks who'd rather I go on and pass over. But I'm not going till he takes me. Did you hear me? And you can't hurry that up. That's in his hands. And until then, I've got to be a prayer warrior. Praying. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints. And listen to this. You talk about powerful. You got to hear it, church. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit in me that I'm baptized with searches my heart. And then he knows the heart of God. And so he brings the heart of God into my prayer life by using my lips to pray with his Spirit and with his language. And he prays for me straight to the Father. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, it goes straight to the throne room. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, it goes straight to the throne room. And old Lucifer can't do a thing about it. And I'm telling you, if I could have 1,000 people praying with me from now till tomorrow, our churches would be a different place. If we can have people all across America praying for the president and praying concerning this election, this midterm election. We'll win it big time. We'll win it big time. We won't win it by human power. We won't win it by human power. The media's already got the other crowd winning because they want the other crowd to win. But if we know how to pray, we can win. I said we can win, not for ourselves and not for the politician, but for God and for our churches and for our nation and for the good causes of which we are devoted to. Are you helping me? Are you with me? Will you dedicate yourself? Now get on the phones. I got to hear your call. I got to have your questions. Will you call right now? 704-391-0588. I'm waiting on you to call. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want you to call. There's the numbers again. There's the numbers again. And I've got the name of this article up there because I want you to understand God needs praying saints in His church and in this nation. And I'm calling on you today for prayer. Great day. I really believe there's a lot of folks going to hear me today, and you're going to start praying. You're going to get on your faces all over Charlotte and Gastonia, Concord, and these areas all around us, on your knees, all over America, listening to me by Facebook, all over the world. I got a call of the, message of the day from a man that was 5,473 miles away. 5,473 miles away, and he listened to this program. He's probably listening right now. Call me again, my friend from Guyana, and wherever you're from. I'd love to see names of people from many countries on this list today when I see all the results of this prayer broadcast. I want to stir you up to pray. Will you commit yourself? Would you say, I am going to pray like I've never prayed before? Would you say it, dear saints of God? I love you. I want you to know that. I love you, and I care about you, and I'm trying my best to get through to you. And I want to read this again, and then I'll move on. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, straight into the throne room of God in heaven. What are you talking about? You're talking about power. You say, Brother Chambers, we don't have that kind of power. Well, you don't know your Bible if you don't believe that. Go read Hebrews chapter 10. Go read Hebrews chapter 10. Start with verse 16. Read it and notice how he says to come boldly before him because the blood has opened the door into the Holy of Holies. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, when a hand reached over in Jerusalem and split the veil in the temple from the top to the bottom and opened the doorway into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was to sit? Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that's open. The doorway into the holy place is open, and you don't go because you're not passionate enough about prayer. You don't go because you just pray like a dying man in a hailstorm. I'm calling on you to start praying and start seeking the face of God with all your heart. And don't just pray in your power. Pray till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Pray till the Holy Spirit takes hold of you. Pray till the Holy Spirit. You see, praying is like preaching. If you're not anointed, you're not going very far. If you're not anointed preaching, you're not going to be a blessing to the audience. If you're not anointed praying, you're not going to be a blessing to the audience. You've got to learn to pray. You've got to learn to pray. Am I coming through to you today? Now, there's so much to read. And I don't, you know, this is too much for 1 hour. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You got to get this. You really have. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Apostle Paul, that great Apostle Paul. Let me read it to you. See, now you say, Brother Chambers, it isn't in the Bible where we pray in the Holy Spirit, where we pray in another language. Well, listen to this, okay? This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. If I pray in the Holy Spirit in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. And that's what Paul said. Read it for yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, this is King James, this is straight from the Bible, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. So Paul prayed sometimes in his own language and he allowed the Holy Ghost to pray in him in other language, the Holy Ghost language. At other times, he prayed in both. That's the way it is in my prayer life. I may go in there and pray 30 minutes in my own language. Then the anointing comes upon me and I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I pray with words that I don't know what they are, but the Holy Spirit knows what they are. And I'm going straight through the realm of Lucifer and all his demons and devils. And I'm going straight into the throne room of God the Father in the heavenly city, way up there in the north parts, on the side of the north, Psalmist David said. And I go straight in there, not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And I pray and I talk to God and he hears me. And he hears me. Oh, I'm telling you, God is a great God. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding. And listen to this. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding. I love it when I get to praying and sometimes I start singing in the Holy Ghost. And then I'll sing in English. Then I'll sing in the Holy Ghost. And I'll sing in English. I'll pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'll pray in English. I'll pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'll pray in English. That's what I'm inviting you. He has invited you. There's not one of you out there full of the Holy Ghost that you can't pray like this now. If you'll get on your knees and stay there long enough, you got to wait for his anointing. You can't anoint yourself. He's got to anoint you. You can't make it happen. You know, the charismatics taught people to speak in tongues when they got ready and just start saying some incoherent sounds and it'll turn it. No, that's a bunch of trash. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, he gives it. It comes from the Spirit and flows through you and flows straight up to God. And there's nothing on the face of this earth in prayer that matches this. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy saying of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Now you can't make nothing out of this but the language of the Spirit that we preach in Pentecostal churches. I know many Pentecostal churches have quit preaching it. Many Pentecostal churches have got so worldly, it's left their presence and their sanctuaries. Many Pentecostal churches are now doing everything with music, and they'll put up lights, and they'll do all kinds of sounds, and they'll do anything they can to imitate the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you what that imitation of the Holy Spirit is. It's demons. It's devils. You remember what happened with Aaron's sons who decided they would produce their own spirit and do their own stuff, and God destroyed them. Oh, don't you play with that stuff. Don't you go to churches singing rock and roll music, playing all their sounds that just almost trash the ears or do trash the ears. And they got lights up blinking and they got all kinds of things trying to imitate a Holy Ghost filled service. And all it is an imitation. It's an absolute imitation and it's full of demons and you better run for your life or you'll be caught up with it. Now he says, thou verily giveth thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Wow. I've given you some good stuff, friends. I mean, I'm laying it out there. I've been preaching this kind of truth for 60 some years. 60 some years. I've seen it work and operate. Yeah, they're imitations. There are people who come into a Pentecostal church and try to imitate it. And I recognize them the moment they start. And I go shut them down. I do. I've shut down quite a few through my years. I believe that it's got to be of the Holy Spirit. It can't be flesh stuff. It can't just be noise. It can't just be incoherent sounds. It's got to be the real Holy Spirit. I know people who say the same thing and call it the Spirit that they've been saying for 20 years. They just need a fresh baptism. They need to quit letting their mind remember what the Holy Ghost said 20 years ago. And it's nothing but an echo of the past. And they need the real anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it will turn the church upside down. It'll move things onto a new level. Are you listening to me? God is calling the church to become a place of great prayer. God is calling the church to become a place of great prayer. I beg of you. I beg of you, my friends. I beg of you. Get yourself back with God where you ought to be. Now, I want to have some time for questions. And I'm starting that right now. So get your phone in your hand. 704-391-0588. 0588. Now, I want to hear from you. I want some questions about praying. Some questions about how to pray effectively. Something that I've said that you are not sure of. Something I've said that you need better explanation of. Something I've said to help you realize what you can accomplish. I'm here to tell you, we can make sure the right election turns out right. We got Obama because we were in such a foul, broken condition, killing unborn babies, sodomite marriages. I mean, you look at all the things that have invaded our nation because of liberalism. And they don't want us stopping that stuff. They want to do their thing. They want a world where they can fornicate and live like they please to live. My dear friend, hear me. God wants to change all of that. And God wants to bring America back to being a nation that has some degree of sanity, that has some degree of respectability. And we're growing. We're building up in that direction. People from all over the world wants to come to America. And I don't blame them. I'd want to come too. Now, they've got to come right. They can't break the law and break in on their own, just like they can't break in my house without suffering the consequence. They shouldn't be able to break into our nation without suffering the consequence. So are we praying? Are we willing to pray? Are you calling? Are you going to get on the phone and let me hear from you? 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want your question. What do you think about this kind of praying? Do you understand Holy Ghost anointed praying? Do you understand if you're not full of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you can't pray in the Spirit? You can't pray in the Spirit. You cannot. You pray only in the flesh until you're full of the Holy Ghost. Until you're full of the Holy Ghost. And I want every one of you full of the Holy Ghost. And there's a lot of you who claim to be full of the Holy Ghost, and you haven't been full of the Holy Ghost for so long, you don't even remember how it felt. And I'm calling on you to get back on your knees and become freshly filled with the Holy Ghost. We just had a big retreat this week in Gatlinburg. And we had a building full. I mean, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And the Holy Spirit invaded that place. I'm telling you, it was outstanding. We had lives changed. We had a preacher from down near Bladenburg that really got back to a Pentecostal full life. We just had wonderful things happening. And it's thrilling. It really is. It's thrilling. And there's nothing like being full of the Spirit. And I'm here to tell you, if you learn to be a powerful prayer warrior, it will be the most wonderful experience of your life. From the day you learn the power of praying by the power of the Holy Spirit, it will change your prayer life. You'll begin to see answers. You'll begin to see great things happening. You'll begin to see miracles. God will use you to pray for your neighbors and the people you work around. They'll see your face shining like a light. And they'll come and say, please, please, Judy, please, Sally, please, Jerry, please, Richard, please pray for me. I sense that you're real and that you really have the real thing. And they'll want you praying for them because you have learned to be a mighty prayer warrior. I had a testimony that come other day. I was at the Mercy Hospital, and I was praying for somebody in the room. I don't remember who it was. And a little girl across the room in another part of the ER, the emergency place, heard me praying. She was 2 years old, and she was very sick, 105 fever. Her mother and dad was afraid she was going to die. And the little girl said real quietly to her mother, I want that preacher to pray for me. I want that preacher to pray for me. Well, the mother wasn't bold enough to just leave the room and come find me, but the Holy Ghost took care of that. As I was leaving, I was walking down the hallway that happened to be near that little girl's room, and I just spoke out loud in the hall, there's a little girl over here that wants me to pray for her. And so this mother comes rushing out of the room and said, it's my little daughter. It's my little daughter. It's my little daughter. I heard a whisper a while ago. I want him to pray for me. And I went in and prayed. I don't remember their names. I don't remember. I hardly remember the event. I can feel it and see it back there in the way back parts of my old brain. But God healed that little girl. 25 years later now, she's still healed. You see, God is a miracle working God. But he's got to have people who listen to him. He's got to have people who seek his face. People who are his vessels, people who do his will, people who walk with him and live for him and obey him. Now, I beg of you to get this in your heart. Now, let me take you to Jude. I got plenty to say. I want you to call because I want to answer your questions. I really do. And I'm expecting somebody right now. There's numbers of people out there. You're getting a hold of this. I would say there's probably 1,000 people at least who are thinking I'm going to start praying like this man's talking about. At least 1,000. Please send me a little text and tell me you're going to be praying with me. Please. I'd like to get a little note on the Facebook or on the internet or by the mail. I mean, you can get our mail right off of the internet, www.paulcreek.org, www.paulcreek.org. Or just paulcreek.org. That's all you got to do. Paul Creek, PAWCREEK, all little letters, .org, O-R-G, not com now, but paulcreek.org. And you can get our address. You can get all kinds of sermons. You can send notes to us. You can order material from us. We'll bless you. We're here to bless you. That's all we're here for, is to be a blessing. Now, let me go to Jude. How many of you know who Jude is? Jude that wrote the little book of Jude in our Bible. Right in the Bible, right at the back of the Bible, not far from the book of Revelation. And here's something he said. I'll come back to that. Let me take this call. Now, listen, I want to hear from you. You are important. Are you listening to me? You are important, and you're on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, how you doing? So you turned to Isaiah 53 and 12.
This is Isaiah. Did you say Isaiah?
Yeah, Isaiah 53 and 12.
Says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great.
Okay, read the back part of it where he says, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of men, and he says he made intercession for the transgressors.
Now, are you in Isaiah 53?
Isaiah 53 and 12.
And he was numbered with the transgressors. I got it. And he bare the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Okay. I'm giving scriptures where God has interceded for sinners. Okay. In John 17, I think it was, Jesus was praying for his disciples, and he said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for those that you've given me.
That's in John 17.
Yeah, and whosoever shall believe on my name. Okay, these were scriptures where God and Jesus made intercession for the world at the cross.
Isn't that beautiful?
And then he tells us that he sat at the right hand of the Father making intercession for the saints. Okay.
He first had intercession for the sinner, the transgressors. Then he had intercession for the saints.
Many scriptures where he says because of what he did, he got the continuation of his intercession. But He's left it up to us to do. He uses us for the intercession.
You know, I believe that with all my heart. I believe that we are now the intercessors for the great high priest, and through us, he prays to the Father.
Exactly.
And the Lord has been showing me that for several weeks, that when I talk about the Holy Spirit interceding for me, I've got to be available for him to do it because he does it in me.
Exactly, because he's already done that at the cross. Now it's up to us, and through our being sensitive and plus just praying. He said, what scripture says, I looked for an intercessor, I found none. what? For intercessors.
You know, that is beautiful material. If the world out there would understand why people are not getting saved, why the churches are dying, why altars are empty, the problem is old-fashioned, Holy Ghost-anointed intercession where Jesus has these saints of God who are full with His Spirit and who let Him cry and weep and sob through us to bring the sinner to God.
The only way.
The only way. I love you. I got another call. I'll move on. You on the air? May I help you, please? You on the air?
Hello.
Hey.
This is Grace.
Hey.
Oh, I love your program.
Go ahead. I'm listening to you.
I said I love your program. You're the only one that speaks the word.
Well, I'm not the only one. Maybe on some things and maybe on some vineyards, but I'm telling you right now, the truth is real. And if we can move this world to start praying like I'm talking about, we're going to shake our churches. Churches are dying because they're not winning anybody to Christ. And they're not winning anybody to Christ because the altars are cold and calloused. And the saints just sit in the church on pews and they're pew warmers instead of altar warmers.
Okay, I am praying for the president. I was praying before you even said that also.
I am delighted, dear lady. I believe you said your name was Grace. You keep praying. You keep calling on God because I promise you God is listening.
I know He is. I respect everything you're saying.
I love you. Call quickly now. I want to hear from you. Everybody out there is important to Brother Chambers. We are. This program is one of the best I've ever done. I feel the Holy Spirit in this room, and He's talking to thousands of you to get on your knees and get with your prayer life. If you're in Africa, if you're up in England, if you're up in Russia, if you're over in China, if you're in Canada, if you're in South America, people can hear me anywhere on the face of this globe if they've got a little computer, a phone like this. Or they got the right kind of radio or the right kind of a computer. Anybody in the world can hear me. And we probably have a million listening today. And God is talking to you to get off your duffs and get with your prayer life and become a prayer warrior. Will you do it? I want you to send me a note. I want to get so many notes today. I don't have time to read them from everywhere in the world. Tell me your country now and tell me where you're calling from and call and say, I'm going to start praying every morning. Did you know that God wants to meet you every morning? Did you know that? Hey, call quickly. We got time for a couple more calls. So grab your phone and put them numbers up again. Listen to me. I want to quote you a poem. Listen to this. I met God in the morning when my day was at its best. And His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long, His presence lingered. All day long, He walked with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. So I think I've learned the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek God in the morning if you want Him through the day. You must seek God in the morning if you want Him through the day. Now, I want you to call. I'm ready to take your call. But let me take you to Job while you're calling. Now, listen to this. This is in Job chapter 7, verse 17. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him? Woo-hoo. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? God sets His heart on us. God magnifies us. He's magnified me. I'm just a no country preacher. Here I am being heard all over the world. That's pretty wonderful. I love every moment of it. But I don't get no glory. He gets the glory. He gets every bit of the glory. I'm saved by grace through faith. And that not of myself. It was the gift of God. But listen to this. That thou shouldest set thine heart upon Him. God has His heart set on us. God is depending on us. God is relying on us. The whole kingdom is in His hands, but He's put it in our hands. And we're responsible. He's the intercessor, but I'm the vessel of that intercession. He cries out to the Father, but He uses my body and my voice and His Holy Spirit in me to cry out to the Father. And there you are sitting at home and doing nothing, spending your time playing games and doing all kinds of fun things when God's calling you. to the altar to seek him. I got another verse here. This is Job 7:18. And that thou shouldest visit him every morning. That thou shouldest visit him. Are you listening? I'm trying to cut that off there. That thou shouldest visit him every morning. God should visit us every morning. Did you know if you have a place to pray and you don't show up in the morning, God's there waiting on you? I walk in this sanctuary about 5:30 or 6 every morning, and I'm inviting anybody in Charlotte to join us. Come here and pray with us. If the door's locked, you can't get in when you get here, knock on the sanctuary window. I hear you. I'll run let you in. I promise you, it won't bother me. I promise you. We'll let you know how you can get in on a regular basis if you want to come. All you got to do is call, let us know. I want to be part of this prayer chain going on at Paul Creek. We're going to set this city on fire. We're going to shake Charlotte. We're going to shake Charlotte. The president was here last night, and boy, did he make a good speech. Whew, it was outstanding. It was outstanding. But I'm here to tell you, he needs prayer. He's got a devil he's fighting out there, and he's not big enough for that devil. He's not big enough for that crowd of liberals. He needs prayer. He needs us praying. He needs the hand of God, the might of God. I met God in the morning. His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me, and we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. So I think I've learned the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek God in the morning if you want him through the day. You must seek God in the morning if you want him through the day. Now, are you listening to me? God needs, the church needs, the government needs praying saints. Praying saints who know how to pray, who will stay on their face and keep on. I got time for one more call, maybe two. Hurry up, grab the phone, 704-391-0588, and call for this material. Would you please? I'm going to leave the phone number up now because I want you to call for this material. I want you to call for this booklet, The Formula for Praying. 10 things in the formula for praying. And then we'll send you this book on prayer, power of prayer. Okay? 2 things you'll get free, no cost, if you call. Grab the phone. Don't you wait now. We'll leave it up a little while. I want you to know I'm praying. Woo-hoo! Great God, I feel his presence. Holy Ghost, give me 1,000 prayer warriors this week. Even more, but at least 1,000. Oh, send the message to everybody you know, will you? Share it on Facebook. Send it any way you can send it. Send it any way. Call people. Get them on the phone. You got to start praying. Brother Chambers says it's desperate. It's desperate. I'm telling you, it's desperate. All hell is determined to get their hands back on America and take us to hell. All the devils are determined to keep us killing babies and supporting same-sex marriage and the transgender crowd and to keep proud of our schools and to keep our schools going to hell because God has been ruled out of them. Oh, church, hear me when I tell you we need a miracle from God like we've never needed, okay? I'm crying out to you, and I'm telling you, you hold the power of prayer for your family. You hold the power of prayer for your church. You hold the power of your community. You hold the power of the things that you represent. And I'm crying out to you, let God have his way. Turn your life over to God and go all the way with him. Go all the way with God. I said go all the way with God. It's a miracle what God will do if you'll give God a chance. It's a miracle what God will do if you'll give God a chance. And I'm crying out to you to give God a chance. Turn it over to God. Well, I want you in church tomorrow, here tomorrow at 11 o'clock, here tomorrow at 6 o'clock in the evening. Next Saturday, we have breakfast at 9 for anybody in the city, complimentary. Breakfast next Saturday at 9. Breakfast next Saturday at 9. Can you hear that? I think that would be the third day of November. I hope you can be here. I really do. And of course, Wednesday night Bible study, and our Bible study is so good. I love every minute of it. I love every minute of it. Well, it's wonderful to belong to God. I've given it my best today. My phone fell. I've given it my best today. I've laid my heart out there for you. I've told you how devoted I am to this whole cause, and I want you to get God moving in your life, and let God use you, my dear friend. Let God use you. He wants to use you. I promise you. I promise you. I love you. Hey, I love you. Hey, I love you. Crown
someday, and I'll keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand. I'm not giving up, no, I'll keep going on. No, I'm not giving up.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, I'm not turning round. It's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown.
Hallelujah.
Someday, and I'll keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand. I'm not giving up, no, I'll keep going on. Oh, no, I'm not giving up, no, I'm not turning round. It's by the grace of God I'll wear a shining crown someday, and I'll keep holding on, holding to that nail-scarred hand. No, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. And I'll keep holding on, holding to that nail-scarred hand.